it really bugs me sometimes when preachers will use like two verses and preach for an hour, and I'm like, I don't care what you think. What does God's word say? And so this morning we're going to dive into God's word, and some of the youth, you might have been there on Wednesday. This is not the same sermon, but we are going to talk on the same topics. We're going to go a little deeper. So all you youth that were there Wednesday and are here now, you get to go a little deeper this morning. And so the title of the sermon is Prayer, God's Powerful Word. And so let's just open a prayer real quick. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the chance to dive into your word. And Lord God, I pray that it would be all of you and none of me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. So in Romans 10, verse 13 and 14, it says this: For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless if they have never heard about him? All right, let me read that one more time. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless if they've never heard about him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard? This morning we're going to talk about a little bit about a faith when we pray, okay? And so Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by what? Faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. How do you grow in faith? Through God's word. How do you grow in your relationship with God? Through God's word. How do you experience God in your life? Through God's word. How do you have the faith to receive the things that you will believe in God for? Through God's word. We're going to look at that this morning. Because the thing is this: what is the first thing we drop when we get busy? God's word. What is the second thing we drop when we get busy? Prayer and going to church. Oh, I didn't go to church because I was busy. The places you hear God's word, we drop them when we get busy. And I want to tell you that this morning that there are people who are desperate for change to happen in their life. And I want to tell you that it begins in God's word. That's where it begins. To the kids at youth group, if your kids aren't getting a youth group, you need to get them there. Because we're doing a series on prayer, faith, and authority. And over the next 6 to 10 weeks, the kids are going to learn how to pray. And it's going to change the way they think about their relationship with God and how they go through things in their life. And I'm telling you, faith comes by what? Well, how are they gonna grow in faith if they're not at youth group hearing it? So I really challenge you guys to get your kids there. All right, so faith comes by hearing God's word. Romans 1:16 says, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? What is it? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So point number one this morning, if you're taking notes to fill in the blanks, point number one is God's word is the power. God's word is the power. God's word is the power. See, people use this verse a lot for salvation, for telling people about God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to salvation. And it does mean that. It does. But what I want to look at this morning is it means so much more than that. So the Greek word for salvation is soteria, which means this: deliverance, safety, salvation, benefits and blessings, redeemed from all earthly ills and eternal life. So what the verse is really saying is this: For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to deliver. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to bring safety. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to bring his benefits and blessings into my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to redeem us from all earthly ills. God's word is power. You know, I am so glad that I'm a preacher, and I'm so glad that one day when I'm older, I'll be a senior pastor, because I am deeply concerned at the condition of churches in America, because they are preaching less and less of God's word. We are blessed to have a senior pastor that teaches God's word. I mean, his notes are full of scripture, and he does the fill in the blanks. He's ready to go. He does fill in the blanks so you can take it home and look over it during the week. How blessed are we? God's word is the power, the breakthrough you need in your life, the change you need in your life. God's word has the power to create that change in your life. God's word has the power to bring forth the need that you have in your life. God's word is power. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is living and what? Powerful." God's word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I want to tell you that faith comes by hearing God's word. Change you need in your life comes by hearing God's word. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Other translations say the evidence of what we do not see. One of your fill in the blanks this morning is hope says it will happen. Faith says it is happening now. Let me explain. Like, we have hope in Jesus that he will return. We have hope that we know where we're going when we die. Hope says this is what will happen, but faith says it's happening right now. See, why is this important? See, when we pray a prayer of faith, we are praying that it is happening right now. The healing that you believe in God for is happening right now. Not, oh God, it's coming. No, it's happening right now. And I don't know when the next time I'll get to preach on Sunday morning, so I'm just going to tell you this side note, okay? For by his stripes, we are healed, okay? So imagine for a second, Pastor John, because he's such a nice guy, buys you a car and gives you the keys and the title. Here you go, bought and paid for, it's your new car. Do we go then and try to make payments on that car? No, it's yours. It's already taken care of. It's already paid for. And sometimes when it comes to prayer and praying the prayer of faith, we want to pray as though we're asking God to do something in our lives. And God is like, I already paid for that. See, faith says it's happening now. And hope says it's going to happen. See, the Bible doesn't say to pray the prayer of hope. It says pray the prayer of faith. It's happening now. And so sometimes we get into this place where we beg God and beg God and beg God. Oh, God, you know, please, this. And it's kind of like if you were at a restaurant. See, any McDonald's eaters in here, okay? I'm a youth pastor. I eat McDonald's. It's what you do. And when I go to McDonald's, I go up to the counter and I say, sir, I will have a Big Mac meal large with no pickles, no onions, and extra mac sauce. Get rid of the fries. I'll take chicken nuggets and a large Dr. Pepper. He says, okay, and I pay. I then don't go, sir, excuse me. I will take a Big Mac meal large with no pickles, no onions, extra mac sauce. Get rid of the fries, chicken nuggets, and a large Dr. Pepper. He'd be like, what, you want two of those? No, I want the one. And then he walks away. He's like, okay. And I'll call him back. Sir, excuse me. I will have a Big Mac meal large with no pickles, no onions, extra mac sauce. Get rid of the fries. Put chicken nuggets and a large Dr. Pepper. So now he's like, what, you want three? No. I just want the one. Okay. I'm working on it. So he walks away and I don't call him back. And I'm like, sir, excuse me. I will take a large Big Mac meal with no pickles, no onions, extra mac sauce. Get rid of the fries. Put chicken nuggets in and a large Dr. Pepper. This is the thing. This is exactly what we do when we pray. God, this is what I need you to do. The next day, God, this is what I need you to do. And then the next day, God, this is what I need you to do. And God's like, I already paid for it. All of God's promises are yes and amen. For by his stripes we already are healed. See, the prayer of faith says it's happening now. And the problem is this. I'm convinced, not you guys, because we're super spiritual in here, but most Christians in America today do not know how to pray. They don't. They do not know how to pray. We're going to look at this for a second. So faith is fully confident that what God's word says is true. God, your word says it. I believe it, so now I receive it because it is happening now. See, faith is the evidence of things you can't see. Just because you don't feel your healing doesn't mean that Jesus hasn't already taken care of it right now. So confident in how powerful God's word is. In 1 John 5:14, it says this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, well, just real quick, I'm going to blow your mind this morning. The Greek word for anything is anything. I know, whoo, mind-blowing stuff this morning. The Greek word for anything is anything. Now, this is the confidence that we have that when we ask according to his will. Now, this is where people get off track, and, you know, I'm sorry if I'm about to, like, totally flip your whole church background upside down, okay? But this is where people get off because they'll say, well, when they pray, they say, God, if you're willing. You know what I say to that? That's not a prayer. God, if you're willing, is not a prayer. Show me one place in the Bible where Jesus was like, I'm not willing to heal you. Show me one place in the Bible where God wasn't willing to bless the people. So we get off on this tangent of, well, if God is willing, and it's basically what it is it's lazy. It's a lazy relationship with God. I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to throw my prayer up there, and if God's willing, he'll do a miracle, and if he doesn't, I guess God wasn't willing. Look how spiritual I am. And that's not what the Bible says. It's not what it says. So faith is confidence in God's word. Faith comes by hearing what? God's word. Now, this confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, how would you know if you were praying according to God's will if you don't know anything the Bible says? This is the problem. Faith comes by hearing God's word. The reason why so many Christians aren't seeing results when they pray is, number one, they can't tell you if they're praying according to God's will because they don't know what God's will is. I'm not going to lie to you. Don't judge me. I played the lottery last week when it was at $450 million. Like 450 would make a huge difference from just four, what is it now, 40 million? But when it's that high, I definitely play. Like, and this was the thing. I kid you not. The guy on stage preaching on Sunday, I said, God, I will give you 494 million of it. I'll keep six. I can build the church a new building. I can build the church, the gym. Let's redo the parking lot. You know, like, I will give it all to you. And you want to know what happened? Nothing. You want to know why? Because that's not a prayer that goes along with what God's word says you could do. Shocker. I was thinking, oh, man, my dad's orphanages will be set for the next 100 years. But that's not what God's word says you can do. God doesn't want me to believe God to win the lottery so that I never have to rely on him ever again. That's what God's word says. How do you know? How do you know if you're praying according to God's will if you don't know what it says? How can you have the faith to move mountains in your life if faith comes by hearing, and if you're not in God's word and you don't know what it says and your faith isn't growing? No wonder the mountain is becoming bigger and bigger in your life and we're getting so overwhelmed. How can we pray according to God's will? All right, nobody likes that. We'll move on. I don't know why when I come to church, Pastor Isaac's always got to be judging me. All right, so preaching to myself right now. Okay, all right. Just to clarify, I'm the one that played the lottery, not you. All right, so here we go. All right. Point number two, God's word is the power in your prayers. God's word is the power in your prayers. This is why if you have ever heard me pray, ever, the phrase I say is, God, your word says, and then I quote scripture. And God, your word says, and I quote scripture. Because this is the thing. God's word is the power in your prayer. For God's word is alive and living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You want to go to war with the enemy? Why are we fighting with a potato gun when we could be using a two-edged sword? See, when we pray, if you don't know what to pray, this is the thing. If you don't know what to pray, just read God's word. Just say it out loud. That is a better prayer than, God, if you're willing, just speak God's word. You know, Crystal's mom, she was supposed to have died like 20 years ago, and she didn't, because God healed her from rheumatoid arthritis. And it wasn't from people laying hands on her and praying. She sat in a chair. She put like those old school Walkmans. Remember those? Yeah. Okay. You guys are just as old as me. All right. So, and at the old school Walkmans, and she put this cassette tape in, and it was just somebody reading healing scriptures. And she would listen to it 12 hours a day. Faith comes by what? Hearing God's word. God's word is powerful. And then all of a sudden, one day, her faith began to grow. And she was to the place where she could not even get out of the chair. And one day, Crystal's dad comes home from work, and the house is clean, and dinner's cooked and on the table. Faith comes by hearing God's word. God's word is powerful. God's word is the power in our prayers. Then when we pray, we say, God, your word says it. I believe it, and now I receive it. Point number three is this. Are you praying with power? People tell me all the time, man, Pastor Isaac, would you pray? You are a powerful prayer. I'm like, no, I'm not. I just say, God, your word says, and then I get excited about it. That's all I do. I've had people tell me, you know, kind of an angry prayer. I'm like, I totally am. The enemy has ticked me off, and now I'm going to throw God's word all over him. You're right. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says this, and I love this. This is actually, I had an old junky guitar, and it's before I bought my nice new one, and it was so junky that I painted it myself, and it was, and I wrote a scripture on it, and this is the scripture I wrote on it. It says, 1 Thessalonians 1:8, From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Not only in Macedonia and Arcadia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. So this verse is actually talking about the apostles spreading the gospel, okay? But I want to point out something here that I think is interesting, and I think it ties into exactly what we're talking about. It says, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. So now, I don't have to say anything. If you're believing for God for something in your life and you can't be positive, then say nothing. Say, pray what God's word says, and then say nothing. The word of the Lord has sounded forth. When I pray, this is why I get excited when I pray. This is why I'm an angry prayer, I guess. I don't know. But this is why. It's because when I pray, I say, God, your word says, and then the word of the Lord sounds forth, and it is like a bullet from a gun, and then there's nothing the enemy can do to take it back. The word of the Lord has sounded forth, and there's no taking it back. And now, I don't have to say anything, because God's word is powerful. God's word has the power to change. And now, I'm going to sit and wait, because the word of the Lord has sounded forth. If you don't know what to pray, what to say when you pray, then just read God's word. For from you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. John, if you want to go ahead and come up, we're going to be closing up here in a second. Who's liking these one-hour services? Yeah. All right. You will like them even more during football season. All right. Proverbs 4:20 says this. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. The Bible says that God's word is literally life to those who find it, and health to their flesh. God's word is powerful. God's word is the thing you need in your life. This is the thing I know. Pastor Isaac, I thought we were talking about prayer this morning. We are. Because if you're not praying according to God's word, if you're not praying out, speaking out the word of God, then you're fighting the enemy with a potato gun instead of a two-edged sword. I like to look at it this way. You know, when I went through, I was in the military, and when I went through boot camp, it was definitely different back then, right? And so, I mean, there were gloves came off. At one point, I got kicked in the face. Like, you know, like there was, yeah, they They did whatever they wanted to you at boot camp. But they would train you on everything. And every weapon there is, they train you. And so one week it was like, or like 3 days, it was like grenade training. And so they had all these like things set up. It was like buildings and Humvees and all this other stuff and tanks. And you got given all these like fake grenades. And they would run all these like SWAT scenarios, and you'd have to go in and you'd have to like throw the grenade through the window or in the top of the tank or, you know, through the Humvee window and all their stuff. Now, what you don't understand about me is this. I grew up in Liverpool, England, okay? The only sport I ever played was soccer. I never threw a ball until my senior year of high school. And I was a small Christian school, so I joined the baseball team. But I couldn't figure out if I was left-handed or right-handed when I threw, because both were just as horrible. Okay? No, you know, like people will say, like, oh, you throw like a girl. No, you should have saw how I threw. That was the joke. Oh, you throw like Isaac. That's terrible. And so I'm at boot camp, and we're doing a grenade training. And for 3 days straight, everyone's making fun of me because I can't hit the broadside of a barn. Like, I'd take the grenade, and it'd be like an 8-foot by 8-foot window, and I would miss and hit the wall. I mean, I just got made fun of the whole time. And so then one day, when we get through the training, all of a sudden, you have to train with the live ammo. So you get to throw a live grenade. And so everybody kind of goes into this building, and they stand behind this like bulletproof glass so you can watch it explode. And one at a time, you go out and you stand behind this like 5-foot wall. And they train you like you throw it, and then you're just gonna duck down behind the wall. But they have all these little other walls, and if for whatever reason you drop the grenade, you're supposed to dive over the wall. So you practice diving over the walls and hide. And it was weird. So we're there, and drill sergeant's giving me this pep talk, and I can't tell you what he said because I'm a pastor and it wasn't good. But basically he said, you better throw this over the wall, not drop it. And so I'm like, okay. And so he puts this grenade in my hands, and then he squeezes my hand shut, and then all of a sudden he pulls the pin. And I was like, a grenade is just fancy word for bomb. And it like hit me. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, this is stupid. And Seth would have been so proud, because at that moment it hit me. And I wind up, like pitcher wind up. And I go like this, and I let it go. We dive behind the wall and it explodes. And so after my turn, I go in the building, and I'm waiting for everyone to make fun of me. And no one says anything. So my friend, his last name is Bailey, and I'm like, Bailey, why is no one making fun of me? He goes, dude, you threw twice as far as everybody. See, this was the thing. When we were playing with live ammo, it changed the way that I released it. When you pray with live ammo, it changes the way you release it. This is why I'm an angry prayer. Because the enemy has made me mad. And you know what? I'm going to explode God's word all over you. Because God's word says that by his stripes, I already am healed. That all of his promises are yes and amen. That no weapon formed against me can prosper. You want to mess with me, devil? Suck a grenade. When you fight with live ammo, it changes everything. I have a gun in my house, and I have to keep it, I have to lock it up away from Noah, because it's not a toy gun. It has live ammo. Are you praying with power? Are you praying with live ammo? If you do not know how to pray, just read God's word. Speak it out. God, your word says, I'm not reminding God what his word says. He already knows. I'm reminding the enemy. God, hey, God, your word says. Get ready. It's coming for you. And so what the enemy will do is try to convince you the thing you're believing God for isn't coming. And faith comes by hearing God's word. And I want to tell you, if you're in a place this morning where you are discouraged because you think the answer to your prayer isn't coming, you need to have the faith to receive it. And faith comes by hearing God's word. If you believe in God for healing, look up healing scriptures. If you believe in God for finances, look up what God says about that. This morning, don't keep going in your relationship with God, fighting off the attacks of the enemy with a potato gun. Let's fight with live ammo. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for the chance to come and spend time in your word. Oh God, we thank you, God, that your word is true. That your word is true. So God, we believe it, and now we receive it. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, thank you for coming this morning, guys. We love you.